This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
And the Avshacha should be a Melech Yosef for your family and all of us and all of Chal Yisrael.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So many, many fascinating items emerge from Parshas Vayeshev. And the Parsha begins with Yaakov Avinu's relationship with Yosef. And the Torah tells us, if you look on page 198, that Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef from all of his children. If you look in Pasuk Gimel, V'Yisrael ahaves Yosef mikol banav. Yisrael, Yaakov loved Yosef more than all his children. Ki ben zekunim hulo. Because he was a son of his old age. And the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what does that mean that Yosef was the son of Yaakov's old age? We know Yosef was among the youngest children of Yaakov. You know, there was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Yosef was what number?
11.
Fine. And he was Ben Zekunim because he was born when Yaakov was already older. Yaakov already was 77, 90 years old when Yosef was born. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, if Yaakov loved Yosef because Yosef was born when Yaakov was so old, there was another child who was born when Yaakov was even older. Who was that?
Binyamin.
Binyamin was born 8 years later, when Yaakov was almost 100 years old. So if the whole love of Yaakov to Yosef was because Yosef was born when Yaakov was already old, so then he should have loved Binyamin even more. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that question is addressed, if you look at number one, by the Rashbam. The Rashbam was one of the early Rishonim. He was born in Ramah, in France, in the year 1085. Okay, 1085, 11th century. He passed away in 1174. Okay, 1174. The Rashbam was the son of a woman named Yocheved. Yocheved was the daughter of Rashi. Okay, so the Rashbam was Rashi's grandson. Many times the Rashbam argues on Rashi, and in fact, Rashi actually conceded to the Rashbam on many occasions. He agreed to him. Rashbam argued with Rashi, and Rashi said to his grandson, "You're right." In halacha. Okay. By the way, the Rashbam had a famous brother named Rabbi Nutam, one of the Balei Tosfos. The Rashbam's brother was Rabbi Nutam. Says the Rashbam that the reason why Yaakov loved Yosef, even though really Binyamin was born when Yaakov was much older, look at number one, Ben Zekunim ki achron hoya le'achar asar banim. He was the last one of the 11 children. Avol Binyamin lo nolad achri chen adzman meruba. Binyamin was not born until a little while after. V'harbe kodem shenolad Binyamin hoyelo ben zekunim. That means Yosef enjoyed the relationship of being Yaakov's ben zekunim for many, many years until Binyamin was born. Okay? V'hischa li'ahavo. And Yaakov developed a love for Yosef. So in other words, what we're saying is that really you're right. Binyamin was born when Yaakov was much, much older. But there were many, for many, many years, the relationship between Yaakov and Yosef was, you're my child of my old age. So it stuck. That relationship stuck. So by the time Binyamin was born already, Yaakov had spent so many years loving Yosef that it stuck with Yosef. But now we're going to learn a fascinating explanation for why Yosef is considered Yaakov's beloved child and not Binyamin. Take a look at number two. Number two is the Perush, the commentary of the Chizkuni, also one of the Rishonim who lived approximately in the year 1250. Okay? The Chizkuni says like this. Chizkuni says, look at number two. V'im Tomar, if you're going to ask, Hare Binyamin ben Zekunim Yoser. Binyamin was born when Yaakov was even older, so why did Yaakov love Yosef? He should have loved Binyamin more. Yeah? Ela ein avas Binyamin kishura b'libay shal Yaakov ka'avas o shal Yosef. Yaakov's love for Binyamin was not as much as Yosef. You know why? Because what happened when Binyamin was born?
She passed away.
Rachel passed away. So Binyamin's birth was associated with the death of his beloved wife, so therefore he loved Yosef more. Because even though Binyamin was born when Yaakov was even older, but the association of his birth carried with it this negative connotation that he couldn't love him as much as he loved Yosef. That's what the Chizkuni says.
Afilu b'darga shel Yaakov Avinu.
Afilu b'darga shel Yaakov Avinu mikol makom adam hu. Mikol makom, he's a human being. Says the Chizkuni, look, he says, Ela in avas binyamin kashura beliba shel Yaakov kavasa shel Yosef lefi shekeshialdaso imo mesa. Because when he was born, his mother died. And you could say, it wasn't just a natural love. Yaakov loved Rachel because he realized that his shleimus, his perfection, only came in union with Rachel. In terms of his spiritual greatness, he needed to be together with Rachel. Okay. Now we're going to learn something that I believe will come as news to most people. It certainly came as news to me. Even though, you know, we're used to learning these stories. When we went to Cheder, when we were young kids, they told us the story about Yosef's dreams, okay? But this is certainly a brand new explanation of something that, if you read the Psukim, when you hear this, you'll see it's the Psukim are saying it, but until you hear it, it's like a closed book. You never saw this before. Okay, let's analyze the Psukim very carefully, okay? Look on page 200, Pasuk Hey. You have to look at these psukim very carefully. Okay? If I would ask you right now, how many dreams did Yosef have?
Yosef had...
but that the Torah tells us about. Okay? How many dreams?
Two.
Good. Two. One dream about the bundles of wheat bowing down to him, and one dream about the stars bowing down to him. But let's look at the psukim very carefully, and we're going to see there is something more than meets the eye. Look in Pasuk Hey. Vayachalom Yosef chalom. Yosef dreamt a dream. Vayaged le'echav. And he told his brothers. Vayosifu od sino oso. And they hated him even more. Okay, so it said Yosef had a dream. He told his brothers. What was the dream? So we're used to thinking, you know what the dream was? What it's about to say in Pasuk Vav. Vayomer alehim, he said to them, Shimuna, listen up, hachalom hazeh asher chalamti, this dream that I dreamed. Vihine anachnu me'alamim alumim, we were bundling bundles b'soch hasadeh in the field. Vihine kama aluma si v'gam nitzava, my bundle rose up and stood up. Vihine sisu ben aluma seichem, and your bundles bow down, v'tishtach aven ala aluma si, and they bow down to my bundle. So we're accustomed to thinking, what was the dream that Yosef told his brothers? This dream, that all the bundles that represented the brothers got up and bowed down to Yosef's bundle. So what do the brothers say? V'yomru lo echav, the brothers say to him, Hamaloch timoch aleinu, you're going to be king over us? What are you telling us, that your bundle is going to be standing there and we're going to be bowing down to you? You're going to rule over us? Imashal timshal banu? Vayosifu od sino oso. And they began to hate him more. Al chalom osav, for his dreams, v'al dvarav, and for his words. So we're immediately struck by two questions. Number one, why does it say vayosifu od sino oso, they hated him more? It already said that at the end of Pasuk. Hey, Vayachalom Yosef chalom, vayagid li'achav, vayosifu od sino oso. So why, if the dream that he first told them about was this dream about the bundles, why is it necessary for the Torah to say that they hated him more twice? It already said they hated him more. Why, again, after he relayed this dream, does it say that they hated him even more?
Ah,
it sounds like there's another dream here that the Torah is not telling us about. Plus, look very carefully at the words in Pasuk Ches, Vayosifu od sino oso, they hated him, al chalom osav. What does chalom osav mean?
Dreams.
For his dreams. But we only know about one dream so far. So we have to read between the lines, and obviously there is another dream that Yosef had that for some reason the Torah hides from us. What's the dream? Okay? So, for this, we turn to the Sefer Amar Nekeh. The Amar Nekeh was a Sefer written by Rabbeinu Ovadia Mibar Tanura. The most famous commentary on Mishnayos is called the Bar Tanura. Okay? And I heard a pshat this week on a tape from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. And the name of the Bar Tanura, so I was trying to get a hold of the Sefer. I called up the Sfarim store. I said, do you have the Bar Tanura on Chumash? He said, what? The Bar Tanura on Chumash? You mean Mishnayos, right? I said, no, on Chumash. So they said, there's no such thing. So, but there is such a thing, and we got the Sefer over here. And by the way, the Bar Tanura You ever, you know, Bar Tanura wine? You ever mm-hmm. see Bar Tanura wine? Yeah. He was a winemaker. He was born in Italy in 1440, okay? In the year 1486, he decided he has to move to Eretz Yisrael. He took a long, arduous journey to Israel. It took him 2 years. Finally, he comes to Hebron. He wanted to open up a yeshiva, but the residents of Israel at that time were not on a high enough level of learning for them to be able to be in his yeshiva. Until the year 1492, when the Jews from Spain were exiled from Spain, they made their way to Israel, and the Spanish Jews were on a much higher level of learning than the native Jews of Israel at that time, and they entered his yeshiva, and his yeshiva was instituted for the Spanish exilees. What's the correct word?
Refugees?
Yeah, those who are exiled from Spain. Okay. Says the Bar Tanura. Okay. And for this we have to look at the second to last Rashi in Sefer Bereishis. Okay? Do you remember after Yaakov Avinu died, so the brothers were getting nervous. The brothers were saying to themselves, you know, now that Yaakov's dead, now that Yaakov had passed away, maybe Yosef is not going to treat us so well. You know? The brothers got nervous. Maybe Yosef, really, he hates us because we sold him to Mitzrayim, but he didn't want to take revenge when Yaakov is alive. And now that Yaakov had passed away, the brothers got nervous. So Yosef was trying to console them and talk to them. If you look at the very end of Parshas Vayechi, okay? And by the way, I'm going to tell you something at the end of the shiur tonight, which is really earth-shattering. What does this week's parsha have to do with Chanukah? Of course, we know Chanukah is coming up this Wednesday night. There has to be some remez in the parasha to Chanukah. Look at the end of Parshas Vayechi, page 288. Page 288. Okay? It says on page 288. Okay? Pasuk Chaf Aleph. V'yata al tiro, and now don't be afraid. Anochi achal kelaschem. I will sustain you. V'yastapachem, and your children. V'yanachem osam, Yosef consoled them, v'yadaber alibam, and he spoke to their hearts. He made them feel better. What did Yosef tell them? Look at the Gemara in Megillah, number 4. Yosef tell them the following. Look at number 4 in the sheet. V'yanachem osam, Yosef consoled them, v'yadaber alibam, he spoke to their hearts. Amar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes, I'm a Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes, and the name of Rabbi Elazar. Melamed, this teaches you. Sha'amar lahem tvarim shemeskavlim al halev. Yosef told them words that would be accepted in their hearts. What did he say? Uma asara neros lo yachlu lechabos nerechad. If 10 candles cannot extinguish one candle, nerechad. How could one candle extinguish 10 candles? In other words, okay, he told them, if 10 candles can put out one candle, how could one candle put out 10 candles? Meaning, if you guys, you 10 brothers, couldn't kill me when I was at your mercy, certainly I, who is now in control, I'm only one, I will not be able to kill you. That's what he told them. If 10 candles cannot extinguish one candle, how could one candle extinguish 10 candles? Says the Bar Tanura, that was the first dream of Yosef HaTzadik. The dream was, he saw 10 candles, on top of it he saw one candle, and the 10 candles were not able to put out the one candle. That was the dream of Yosef that the Torah does not tell us. Take a look at number 3, okay?
10 candles.
He saw 10 candles, and normally if you have 10 candles and you put one candle over it, somehow, scientifically, the 10 candles should extinguish the one candle, and Yosef's dream was that one candle remained.
Right, because they'll take all the oxygen from it.
They'll sap the oxygen, that's how it works? Okay. And Yosef, somehow, it didn't happen in his dream. Somehow it didn't happen. Okay. Take a look in the Bar Tanura. This is from the Sefer Amar Nekei. Look in the middle of the piece where it says Vav Nun Lamed. You see on the sheet? Venir Ali. Okay? Venir Ali. Venir Ali, it appears to me. Shehachalom Harishon. The first dream, Hayamasha Amar Rashi, is that which Rashi brings down. Besof Parshas Vayechi. At the end of Parshas Vayechi. And that is, Asara Neros Layachlo Lechabos Nerechad. 10 candles cannot extinguish one candle. Kilomar, meaning to say, Shela yachlu lahazika. Yosef says, brothers, you think you're going to damage me? Let me tell you about my dream. In my dream, I saw 10 candles, cannot put out one candle. So you're not going to be able to harm me. So let me ask you an obvious question. So why doesn't the Torah tell us about this dream? Why does the Torah sort of leave it to us to figure out? Why doesn't the Torah say? Yosef had one dream. He saw 10 candles and they couldn't extinguish one candle. The answer is, he's going to say, what was the brother's reaction to this dream? They hated him. But did they say anything? Like by the other dreams? With the other dreams, they said, you think you're going to rule over us? This dream, they didn't say anything. Because, look, what are they going to say? This guy comes to them and says, you can't harm me, you can't harm me, right? So fine, they're not gonna say anything to him, but they're going to hate him. So since they didn't react with words, the Torah doesn't tell us what it was. Okay, look what he says. V'zeh ha-chalom, this dream, lo chashash ha-kosev lehotzio, the pasuk does not care to tell us, ki mizeh lo amru davar, they didn't respond with any words. Rak shesanu oso, they just hated him. Avo kisha amar, but when he said, sheyia moshal aleihem, that he's going to rule over them, when he said, oh, not only will you not be able to harm me, but your bundles are going to come bow down to my bundle. Oh, now the brothers are not just going to hate him in his heart. Now the brothers are going to say, what are you talking about? You're not going to rule over us. Okay? Avo kisha amar shia moshal aleihem. But when Yosef said that I'm going to rule over you, az chashishu ledvarav, then the brothers paid more attention to his words. Va'anu also, they responded to him. Ulakach amar achakach. And therefore they said afterwards, al chalomosav, for his dreams. Lashon rabim, a plural language. That's why, go around, ask in shul on Shabbos, why does the Torah say that they hated him for his dreams? He only had one dream so far? The answer is he had two dreams. The Torah only tells us about one of them. That's why it says they hated him for his dreams.
Sheshna. Probably from his dreams.
But these were not just regular dreams. They were almost like prophecy, okay? Lashna sheshnayim hayu chalom. Two dreams. Haneros, the dream of the candles. V'ho'alumim, and the bundles. When was the first dream fulfilled? That the 10 candles couldn't put out the one candle? When they threw him into the pit. When they threw him into the pit, even though they tried to kill him, he wasn't harmed, and that's how the first dream was fulfilled. Okay?
What about the dream of the stars?
Eventually, he had two dreams. The bundles bowed down to him, that's when the brothers came down to Egypt and they bowed down to Yosef. And then eventually, even the sun and the moon bowed down to Yosef when Yaakov came down, and Yaakov was the sun, and he bowed down to Yosef when Yaakov eventually came down to Mitzrayim.
I'll tell you, they said to him that you're not going to be our ruler when they interpret it. They exactly interpreted his dream, and it happened the way they said it. He became their ruler.
Exactly. They interpreted it correctly, and they said it's not going to happen, right?
They said, you're not going to be our ruler. And it was exactly that. They were prophesizing that he became their ruler.
They got it right. That's a good point. Very good. Very good. Okay, we move on. We move on to something quite incredible. And we'll do it very quick. Look at number 6. The Gemara tells us there are two Gemaras in Masechet Shabbos that come right after each other, and they appear to have absolutely no connection. They appear to be the two most unrelated Gemaras, and we're going to see if we can have a connection. Look at number 6. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, okay? Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, Darash Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi Mishmed Rabbi Tanchum. Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi explained in the name of Rabbi Tanchum, Ner Shal Chanukah, okay? A candle of Chanukah. Shehinicha Lamala Mechaf Amo, that you put above 20 Amos. If you put the Ner Chanukah so high up, it's more than 20 Amos, it's more than 30, 40 feet, Psula, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. Okay, if you live in an apartment building, so it's going to be... It's going to be of over 20 amos.
Wow! So,
but you're not the main reason you're letting them know is not for the people on the outside. It's for the people on the inside. Wow. So for the inside, it's okay. Okay. So Ner Chanukah that you put above 20 amos, psula, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Kesukah, just like a sukkah over 20 amos, ukemavoy, or if you want to make a certain eruv, it can't be over 20 amos. You hear what the Gemara says? A Ner Chanukah cannot be over 20 amos. Next, now the Gemara talks about the pit that Yosef was thrown into. V'amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana also said, Darash Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi. Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi expounded Mishmei the Rav Tanchum in the name of Rav Tanchum. My dechsev, what does the pasuk mean? Vehabar reik, the pit was empty. Ein bo mayim, there was no water. Rav David, it says the pit that Yosef was thrown into, it was reik. What's reik?
Empty.
Ein bo mayim, no water. It's repetitive. It said it's empty. Why does it have to say there's no water? If it says it's empty, we know there's no water, right? It's like it's superfluous. It's extra. It's redundant. It says the pit was empty. There's no water. A double negative, right? What do we see from there? Mimash mashenemar v'habareik. The fact that it says the pit was empty. Eini yodea she'ein bo mayim. I don't already know there's no water. It tells me like this: Elamat Talmud Lomar Imbo Mayim. Why does the Torah have to say the pit that they threw Yosef in had no water if it already said it's empty? Mayim Imbo. There was no water, but guess what? There was something else in it. Nechashim va'akrabim yeshbo. There were snakes and scorpions. The double negative. It was empty, yeah, and there was no water. Ah, oh, the implication is there's no water, but there was something else. What was there? Snakes and scorpions. Yeah. You ever see? You know. In the cartoons, they throw them into the pit with the snakes and the scorpions. Okay. The question is then, if there were snakes and scorpions in the pit, right? If there were snakes, turn to page 204. This is for you, Reuven. Page 204, the Torah says that the Shvatim were going to kill Yosef. They're gonna stab him. But Reuven came up with an idea. What was Reuven's idea? Vayomer aleim Reuven. Reuven says, "Al tishmachu dam. Don't spill his blood. Hashlicha oso al habarazah. Throw him into this pit. Asher b'amidbar. V'yad al tishlichu vay. Don't kill him." What was Reuven's intention? The Torah says, "Leman hatzel oso miyadam." He had in mind. He didn't tell them. He was going to come back later that night to save Yosef from them. Hashivo el aviv and bring him back to his father. But if there were snakes and scorpions in the pit, then what was Reuven's big advice? Throw him in the pit. That's as good as killing him. What does Reuven say? Don't stab him with a knife. Just throw him to the snakes and scorpions. You know, with friends like that, you know how it goes. Well, what kind of big hatsala is it? Right? Imagine a guy is dying. So hatsala comes and they throw him in a pit with snakes and scorpions. You know, we don't need hatsala for that.
But now still you have a chance to...
But you have to realize... Let's say, Chas V'Shalom, you see someone drowning in an ocean. Could you then go to Beis Din with another person and testify that this person died so that his wife could remarry? No. You know why? Maybe. The last second, a raft came and he climbed aboard, and you don't know. Yet the Gemara tells us, if a guy fell into a pit with snakes and scorpions, you could testify he's dead and let his wife remarry. Because snakes and scorpions, you ain't making it out. You ain't making it out.
No.
If it's full of snakes and scorpions.
If you're going to the hospital, they give you a shot.
If it's full of snakes and scorpions. So the first question is, what was Reuven's big idea? Throw him into the pit. He's good as dead. And number two, these two Gemaras, look in Masechta Shabbos at number 6, could not be more unrelated than East and West. The first Gemara says what? If you put Ner Chanukah more than 20 amos tall, you're not Yotze. The second Gemara says, oh, by the way, when they threw Yosef into the pit, there were snakes and scorpions in it. Could somebody please tell me what the fact that you can't put the Ner Chanukah more than 20 amos tall has to do with the fact that when they threw Yosef into the pit, there were snakes and scorpions in it? What do they have to do with each other? You know, in Gemara, everything is a logical sequence. Imagine if, you know, a teacher went to a classroom. First, I want to teach you that you can't put the Ner Chanukah more than 20 amos tall. And second of all, when they threw Yosef into the pit, there were snakes in the pit. I mean, what do they have to do with each other? Says the Vilna Gaon, they have a lot to do with each other. Because if the Torah is saying they threw Yosef into the pit, hashlichu, in halacha, the definition of throwing means at least a depth of 20 amos. If they threw him a depth of 20 amos, why is Ner Chanukah that you put more than 20 amos tall not Yotze? Why are you not Yotze if you put... Because the eye can't focus. You don't look at it. You see it, you know, it's like you're not looking at the sun all day, you know. It's not on your consciousness. The same reason you don't see Ner Chanukah more than 20 amos tall is why Reuven threw him into the pit that was 20 amos deep. He didn't see the snakes and scorpions. You want to know why Ner Chanukah more than 20 amos tall, you're not Yotze? Look at the pasuk in this week's parasha. Why do you think Reuven threw him into this pit? But there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. The answer is he didn't see it. What do you mean he didn't see it? Because it was 20 amos deep. Oh, we learn from here. 20 amos is not within the eyesight of a person. Look very carefully at the pasuk. Pasuk says, look in pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayikachuhu, they took him. Vayashlichu oisa habora. How do you spell habora? Habora? How do you spell that? Hey bet.
Vav reshe.
Hey bet, vav reshe. But the Torah doesn't write it with the vav. It leaves out the vav. And yet, in the next word it says, v'habar reik, it puts in the vav. Why the first bar without a vav and the second bar with a vav? Because it says like this. You see? It says, v'yashlicha oso habara, without a vav. And then it says, v'habar with a vav. Why? They threw him into a pit. They thought that pit was completely empty. No snakes and no scorpions, without a vav. But when they threw him in, it turned out it was malay. It was full of the snakes. The vav is like the snake. You know, it's a long, thin thing. They thought there were no snakes, and they threw him into habora without a vav. They thought it was empty. Well, in fact, it was actually full. Okay. Now, we move on. Yeah?
The vav has also another, I think it's the same pattern when Israel passed the ocean. Vifoma.
Very good. Very good.
The same concept.
And we darshan from there, not choma, but chema, that Hashem was angry at them. Right? Because they were carrying Avodah Zarah with them into the Yam. Very good. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you something which is really boggles the mind. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Of all the brothers, who was interested in saving Yosef?
Reuven.
How about Shimon and Levi? Not only were they not interested in saving him, they were the ones that were plotting to kill him. So Reuven's being the good guy. Shimon and Levi, they don't want to have anything to do with Yosef. If you remember in last week's parsha, when Dinah was abducted, right? She was taken by Shechem. Who went to save Dinah?
Shimon and Levi.
Huh?
Levi, Shimon.
Shimon and Levi. How about Reuven? Couldn't care less. Very interesting. When it comes to Yosef, all of a sudden Reuven's, my dear brother. Shimon and Levi, they want to kill him. So with Yosef, Reuven's tight. With Yosef, Shimon and Levi not. With the sister, Reuven, I don't need to save Dinah. Shimon and Levi, they're the big advocates of Dinah. What's the explanation? Why is that? Reuven's tight with Yosef, but not Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi are tight with Dinah, but not Yosef. What?
Maybe regret.
This is what they regret?
Yeah. Reuven regret.
And what happened to Shimon and Levi? Right? Well, you know, well, how do we explain that? Another thing. Okay, I want to... Yeah.
Also, Reuven took his father bed with Bilhah. It's the same thing?
Maybe. Can I tell you another thing? Do you remember when Yaakov came to Lavan and Yaakov said, Lavan, I want to marry your daughters. I'll work for them. Lavan says, nah, you don't have to work. Who remembers the words that Lavan used? He said, me and you? Ach atzmi uvesari ata. You're my bones, you're my flesh. You know, the Torah is not a book of poetry. What did Lavan mean? You're my bones, you're my flesh? Listen to this. Says the Vilna Gaon, and the Marshal also says this. The Gemara tells us in Nida, every human being has three partners. Hashem, a father, and a mother. Hashem gives you your soul. The father contributes the white, which means the bones. The mother contributes the red, the basar. Okay? The father contributes the bones. The mother contributes the red. In fact, some poskim discuss, you know, could we rely on a blood test to determine who a person's father is? Some poskim say no, because blood doesn't come from the father. It comes from the mother. Even though you could say, but the blood has white blood cells.
The Y chromosome.
We allow it, but I'm just pointing out the idea is, in according to the Gemara, the father contributes the white, the bones, the mother contributes the red. So you know what Lavan tells Yaakov? Atzmi uvesariata. You are my bones, you are my flesh. Why? Lavan was related to Yaakov through the father's side. Yaakov and Lavan both came from Nachar. And they were related from the mother's side because Lavan was Yaakov's mother's brother through Rivka. That's what he was saying. Atzmi uvesariata. We're related from the father, we're related from the mother. So let me, based on this, let me ask you a very strong question. Look in Pasuk Chavav, page 204. Okay, this is a very interesting question. Okay, Yehuda also tries to save Yosef. He says, Vayomer Yehuda el Echav. Yehuda says to his brothers, Ma betza, what money are we going to get out of killing Yosef? Ki narog es achino, that we're going to kill our brothers. Vichisinu es damin, will cover his blood. Lechu v'nim karenu la Yishmaelim. Let's go sell him to the Arabs. V'yadenu al tehibo. Let's not kill him. Ki achinu v'sarenu hu. He is our flesh. Huh? He's our flesh? Yehuda and Reuven, Yehuda and Yosef. Do they have the same mother?
No.
No. Who's Yosef's mother?
Rachel.
Who's Yehuda's mother?
Leah.
So why is Yehuda saying he's our basar, he's our flesh? They had different mothers. I thought Bisarenu was a term which is used to mean we have the same mother. So why is Yehuda saying, let's save Yosef Bisarenu, who he's not our basar? They had different mothers. There is a very contemporary shaila, very contemporary issue, and that is, what if a woman could conceive, but she can't carry the baby?
Oh, I have an answer for you.
Okay, you hear? You hear where we're going? Okay. So, don't give it away yet. Okay? But it's very cool. What if a woman could conceive, but she can't carry the child? So, scientists, what they could, you know, the specialists, they could, the woman will conceive, and they'll transfer the baby to another mother, and the other mother will carry the baby to full term. Who's the mother in halacha? The woman who conceived the child, or the woman who gave birth to the child?
Conceived.
She contributed to
birth. It's a big machlokes. It's a big dispute among the poskim. Now, machlokes is not a fight.
Surrogate mother.
Surrogate motherhood.
It was not a technology over there.
Let's go to Shlomo
inside. I'm going to tell you something incredible. Reuven already heard this, right? Leah had 6 boys. She's about to have a 7th child. And she sees it's going to be a boy. She sees Ruach HaKodesh, it's going to be a boy. Rachel is having a child also. Rachel sees she's having a girl. What name does... Eventually Leah doesn't have a 7th boy. She has a girl. What does she name the girl?
Dina.
Why Dina? Because she said a tefillah. The tefillah was, if I have a 7th boy, that means Rachel's only going to have 1 boy. That means Rachel's not even going to have as many boys as the Shefachos, as Yaakov's men, because they each had 2, and Rachel's only have 1. Leah davened, says the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. At first, Leah was having Yosef. Yosef was in Leah's womb. Dina was in Rachel's womb. Hashem swapped the children. Leah had Dina, Rachel had Yosef. Okay? Leah had Yosef. In fact, if you look in number 9, okay? Look in number 9. This is the Targum, Yonasan ben Uziel. Look on the last line, in the middle of the line. V'ischalfu ubraya b'me'ehon. The babies were switched in utero. They have a Yahiv Yosef bima de Rachel. Hashem put Yosef in Rachel's womb. The Dina bima de Leah. And Dina in Leah's womb. Or look at number 10. By all the boys that were born to Leah, it says she conceived and she gave birth. She conceived and she gave birth. She conceived and she gave birth. Except for by Dina, it just says she gave birth. Why doesn't it say she conceived, Vatahar? Why does it just say Vateled? Look at number 10. V'yachar yod abas, v'loy nemer bahi rayon. It doesn't say conception by Dina's birth. K'deisa b'medrash, she'ikar ha'hi rayon lo haya ela me'rachel. Rachel conceived her. Shahisarua Lahailida, really Rachel should have given birth to her. Ella Shahispalala Aleha. What happened? Leah davened, Shalo Yehe Chelka Bibanim Pachas Meachas Ashvachos, that Rachel should not have less sons than the maidservants. Vate Chalafna mi beten Rachel Aleha. And they were switched wombs. So remember we said there's a big machlokes among the poskim. Who is the mother? The mother who conceived or the mother who gave birth? We would like to suggest not only is it a machlokes in the poskim, it was a machlokes between Reuven and Shimon and Levi. Reuven maintained that Yosef was his brother. Why? Because Leah conceived Yosef. Leah didn't give birth to Yosef, but Leah conceived Yosef. That's why Reuven was interested in saving Yosef, because in Reuven's mind, Yosef was his full brother from the father and the mother. But Reuven wasn't interested in saving Dinah. You know why? He's not related to Dinah. Dinah was conceived by Rachel. He paskin Rachel is not related to him, because before the Torah was given, the father's lineage didn't count, only the mother's lineage. That's why Reuven only tried to save Yosef and not Dinah. Shimon and Levi, they argued on Yosef. Shimon and Levi argued on on Reuven. Shimon and Levi said, Dinah, she was born from our mother, so she's our full sister. That's why they try to save her. Yosef! We're not related to Yosef. He comes from a different mother. Shimon and Levi paskin, it follows what? It follows the birth. Follows the birth, and Yosef was born to Rachel. Okay. So what we'd like to suggest, and then I found this in the Meshech Chachma. What does Yehuda say? What's his argument that we should save Yosef? Bisarenuhu, he's our basar. Oh, what does it mean? He's our basar. We have the same mother. Meaning Yehuda saying, I argue on you, Shimon and Levi. I agree with Reuven. He's basar. That means we have the same mother. Why do we have the same mother? Because it follows conception, and Yosef was conceived by Leah. That's why he uses the words Bisarenuhu.
Rabbi?
Yes.
It's sort of an outrageous question.
Yeah.
But like you have the Berach if someone's sick.
Yeah. It's an excellent question, yeah?
Who would you say was the mother?
That's a very good question. Here you have a kid, you want to die? That's a very good question.
Wow.
You may have to say both.
What do you do last minute?
Okay, and
last name.
Yeah.
Rabbi, yeah. I said Sarah because I don't know. Don't we actually say the last name? When someone is sick, using the mother's name.
The mother's name.
Questions of who the father might be.
That's one of the reasons, because can never be so right with the father. You can never know for sure who the father is. You can never know for sure. Okay, so this is just something to think about. Part of what's going on here is the allegiance of some brothers to Yosef or to Dinah is not just favoritism, but it may be a matter of halacha. How do we determine full brotherhood? Does it go by conception? Does it go by birth? That's why these terms, these arguments are being advanced. We'll conclude with...
If you don't know their last name, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you don't know their last name.
You say that you try to identify them as best as possible. Mm-hmm. You say this guy, you know, whatever the name is.
Sarah?
Ben Sarah? No.
Batsa?
No. Okay. So, we'll point out one thing. We'll end off with this. There has to be a remez in this week's parasha to Ner Chanukah. So what is it? On Chanukah, after Shacharis, we're going to say Mizmar Shir Chanukas Habayis Le David. Mizmar Shir Chanukas Le David. By the way, the Rashi Tevos, Mizmar Shir Chanukas Mem Shin Ches Mila Shabbos, Chodesh. Those were the three mitzvot that the Yevanim tried to be mevatel. But why would we say this paragraph on Chanukah? We don't say one word about the Neros Chanukah in the whole paragraph. So we're going to say like this. On Chanukah, how many Neros do we light in total? How many Neros do we light? Huh? One the first night. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. 44. Very good. 44. And the remez is... The Neros of Chanukah are Nechmad Lemareh, beautiful to look at. Nechmad, Ner Chanukah Mem Dalet. 44 candles on Hanukkah. You have 36 without the Shamash plus 8 with the Shamash. So you're lighting 44 candles on Hanukkah. Where is the remez to the 44 candles? If you remember, the Bar Tanura said, what was Yosef's first dream?
The 10 candles.
10 candles cannot put out one. How many candles do we have so far? 10 and 1, according to higher mathematics, 11. Trigonometry, what's 10 plus 1?
11.
11. So Yosef saw 11 candles. Then he told over the dream to his brothers. How many candles?
22.
22. At the end of Parshas Vayechi, what does Yosef tell the brothers? If 10 Neros can put out one, how could one put out 10? Another 22, a total of?
44.
44. These are the 44 candles of Ner Chanukah that are Nechmad Lamareh, Ner Chanukah Memdala. These are the 44 candles that are Merumas in these Parshios of Vayeshev and then on Vayechi.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.